How can we who are tempted day in and day out to trust in our own wisdom, strength, and ability in every situation, whether it's at work or at home or at church or whatever it is, how can we keep from doing that?
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day. And I have a letter from Wisconsin, from Eden. Eden writes, "I thank God for radio ministries like yours. I pray that you would continue to preach solid Bible teaching in the manner of 2 Timothy 4, 2-3, and that God would continue to use your ministry to reach the lost in Christ, Eden." Well, Eden, that is our prayer too. We desire to preach the word in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. And so we so appreciate your prayers for this ministry. Thank you.
And Greg, the time has finally arrived.
Well, I wouldn't say finally. In God's time, he's right on schedule. So with that in mind, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, for those of us who are true believers, we recognize that our relationship with the living God is completely centered around faith. The reality is that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, and we walk by faith in Jesus Christ. And even the scripture characterizes the walk of faith as the good fight of faith. It's a battle day in and day out to trust the Lord over our own wisdom and understanding and the world's input and the temptations of Satan. It's a battle day in and day out, whether we will trust in the Lord or rely on our own wisdom and strength. Now, there are many believers who, unfortunately, often rely on their own wisdom and strength. And yet, for those of us who desire to follow the Lord, who are wholeheartedly desiring to be walking in a manner worthy, we certainly find ourselves on a daily basis tempted to rely on our own wisdom and strength. So with that in mind, how can we keep from trusting our own wisdom and strength and abilities? Today we're going to be learning from God's absolute faithfulness and power and perfect timing manifest in the life of Abraham and Sarah. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 21? And this is a wonderful passage. Certainly this passage needs a lot of context to bring us up to the point where we get to this marvelous event where God miraculously brings forth Isaac. So with that in mind, we've been studying the book of Genesis, and we've seen that it is a book written by Moses, inspired by the Spirit. And we have seen that it was initially written, obviously, to the Israelites who were ready to enter the land, but yet all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for us also. Yet within that context, we have seen God's perfect creation, yet man's fall. We've seen the history of mankind. And yet we've seen God's redemptive plan being put in place as he brought forth the reality after revealing man's sinfulness that he would bring through Abraham's seed, redemption, certainly foreshadowed in that seed of Eve, which would crush the serpent's head. Now, we've been looking at chapters 12 through 20 so far, and we've seen the life of Abraham, a man who responded to the Lord's call. He believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And we've seen his walk of faith over 25 years, although not perfect yet. He continues to turn back to the Lord in the context of those failures. He is growing, as we'll see. And remember, we saw first of all from Scripture in the New Testament that Abraham is the paradigm of faith. Abraham from the New Testament is seen as the father of us all in the sense of faith in Jesus Christ. He is the prime example of what a true believer looks like in terms of faith. Now, if you'll remember, he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he left not knowing where he was going. You obeyed the Lord, and he stopped short, chapter 12 in Haran. And the Lord, I believe, reiterated the promises that he had made to him, that he would be a great nation, that God would bless him and make him great, and that he would be a blessing, and those who blessed him would be blessed, and those who cursed him would be cursed. But the most important and tremendous promise was that in his seed all the nations would be blessed. That tremendous promise which we see brought forth even in Galatians chapter 3, which speaks of Christ, God who would take on human flesh and bring salvation, blessing through the forgiveness of sins by what he did. Chapters 12, verse 7, we saw that God promised Abraham the land. And Abraham worshiped the Lord in response. And do you remember we saw later on in chapter 12 his temporal failure out of fear, going in the famine, going to Egypt. And he called his beautiful wife his sister. Well, she really was his half-sister, but he was being deceitful. And do you remember because of Abraham's failure and lack of faith that Pharaoh gave him livestock as servants, which probably included Hagar, the Egyptian maid, as a dowry for Sarai, who was going to be Pharaoh's wife. But yet God delivered Abraham from his sinful consequences. And he came back to the land where he had began and worshiped the Lord. And we see, although he failed in the faith, he turned. Then we saw in chapter 13, Abraham's faith as the herdsmen of Lot, his nephew, and his herdsmen became numerous. God was blessing, and there became fights between them, or spats, and conflict. And Abraham told Lot, you go whichever way you want to go, and I'll go the other way. He was very gracious in that. And we certainly saw Lot's choice as he lifted up his eyes and chose the best land in that valley. Now, with that in mind, we saw in chapter 14 that Abraham risked his life to defeat the Mesopotamian kings who had taken all those from those cities, including Lot, captive. And as he came back, Melchizedek blessed Abraham by giving God the glory for his victory. And Abraham again responded in worship, tithing, and then would not receive anything from that pagan king, that Sodomite king, lest he would say that he had done something for Abraham when Abraham understood it was God who did it. Then we came to chapter 15, where the Lord reassured Abraham not to fear, that an heir would come forth from his own body, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. And Abraham had believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was a true believer. And the Lord made an unconditional covenant promise that he would possess the land. Yet there would be a delay of 400 years as the sin of the Amorite, or the sin of those in that area, would manifest itself. God was giving them time, I believe, to repent. And then you remember what happened in chapter 16. Abraham had been in the land for 10 years, and we had the Hagar incident, where Abraham listened to the voice of his wife when she was telling him something contrary to God's will and word. And he went into Sarai's maid, Hagar, tried to bring forth an heir, and she conceived, and we have Ishmael. Yet we know within this that this attempt to fulfill God's will by their own desire was according to the flesh. We'll see that in Galatians today. Not according to the promise which God had made. And nothing but trouble came from that situation of trying to do God's will in one's own flesh. We came to chapter 17, where Abraham is 99 years old. Now, the lifespans were certainly longer at that time. We understand that, but they were decreasing, but they were longer. He was 99 years old, and it had been a little over 13 years after the Hagar incident. And it's at this point God declares to Abraham who he is, that he is El Shaddai, God Almighty. And he restores Abraham, calling upon him to walk with him with a whole heart. At this point, he reveals that he's going to fulfill the covenant that he made with him in chapter 15. It's going to be fulfilled. God was intervening in the life of Abraham, who had blown it, saying, walk by faith with a whole heart, because I'm going to fulfill my promise to you. And then the rest of chapter 17, we saw the Lord reaffirm his covenant would be fulfilled. He changed Abram's name to Abraham, father of multitude. He also revealed Sarai shall now be called Sarah and will bear Abraham a son. And it will be through that son, not Hagar's son, that the Lord would bring forth his miraculous promise. Now, initially, Abram laughed, but he petitioned the Lord to bring that promise through Ishmael. Yet God made it clear, no, that it would be through Isaac. And he should name him Isaac, which means laughter. And yet we know Romans 4 that from that point Abraham believed and did not waver in faith. And he was given the sign of circumcision for that covenant that God had made and he obeyed. Then we came to chapters 18 and 19, those chapters which really show us a contrast between those who walk by faith and those who walk by their flesh. Abraham, the example, God fellowshipping with him, revealing his truth to him, revealing that by this time next year that Abraham would have a son, Sarah would bear a son. And then we saw chapter 19 where Lot was delivered from Sodom, that Lot had allowed himself to move closer and closer to Sodom. And God was gracious, answering Abraham's petitions and delivered Lot, although Lot still had part of his heart there. He was a worldly believer swept up in God's judgment, yet God spared him. And we saw the tragic life of a worldly believer where Lot ends up in a cave drunk, unknowingly fathering two wicked nations through his daughters, which would be the worst enemies of Israel. Then we came to chapter 20 last time we were together in Genesis. And we saw that Abraham, the paradigm of faith, falls one more time in a familiar way. He goes down in the Negev and he calls Sarah his sister so that the king of the Philistines, Abimelech, would not kill him. But yet Abraham was leaning on his own understanding. He fell into the same pattern of sin he had been in before. And within that, God brought about and protected Sarah and protected her from Abimelech. And God was faithful in spite of Abraham's temporal failure. Yet we see, I believe he was restored as he was moved to pray for them and they were restored. So with that in mind, we come to chapter 21. Now, really, this portion goes up to chapter 21, 1 through 21, and you can read that portion later as Hagar is cast out, the bondwoman is cast out. But we're going to look initially right now at the first portion, verses 1 to 7. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And I'm going to read up also through verse 21, but we'll look at that next week. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and lived in the wilderness and became an archer. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. As I mentioned, this portion really does go together, but there are two separate pieces. So today we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 7, and Lord willing, on our next time together in Genesis, we'll look at this second portion. So with that in mind, we're going to see today, in the context of this passage, two characteristics of the Lord revealed. We're going to see His faithfulness to His word and His power to accomplish what He has said. And we're also going to see two responses from Abraham and Sarah, respectively, one of obedience and one of joy. So how can we, who are tempted day in and day out to trust in our own wisdom, strength, and ability in every situation, whether it's at work or at home or at church or whatever it is, how can we keep from doing that? I think the first thing we need to do is understand really truly from the heart that the Lord is faithful. We need to believe that He will do what He says. And He does it in His time at the right time. Notice first of all in verses 1 and 2, at the right time the Lord fulfills His promise and miraculously causes Sarah to conceive and bear a son to Abraham. Verse 1, then the Lord took note of Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and at the appointed time which God had spoken to him. Now, obviously, this points to the miraculous birth of Isaac according to God's promise. And on the onset, we need to recognize this passage has tremendous theological implications and ramifications. And those are expounded upon in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4, and even in Romans chapter 9. That God is faithful to His promise to bring forth one in the impossible birth, this miraculous birth, that would ultimately lead to the seed, ultimately Jesus Christ, who would bring forgiveness of sins. That God does not accomplish anything through man's flesh, but He does it by His power and strength. And so it's really important. And indeed, later on, we're going to see in Galatians that Isaac represents the children of promise, those of grace through faith in Jesus, those who are according to the Spirit, true believers. And Ishmael, his half-brother, represents those according to the flesh. And specifically in Galatians, those who are caught up in legalism, doing things to try to be right with God, trusting in their flesh. Those who will persecute true believers. And Lord willing, next time we're going to see what the Lord says to do, cast out the bondwoman, and how that relates to getting rid of those things of the flesh. But today we need to see God's miraculous bringing forth of the promise. So notice this portion is very important. Again, then the Lord took note of Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Now, a couple observations we need to make as we look at this in the beginning. First of all, it is the Lord who is doing this. L-O-R-D in large caps. That speaks of Yahweh. That's the great I Am, the self-existent one. That is His covenant-keeping name. It is the Lord who is doing this. And notice, He literally took note of her. And that word means to visit or to attend to. You might have some translations that say visit. The Lord visited Sarah. It also carries the idea of concern or care in certain contexts. Now, often when this term is used in the Old Testament with its New Testament counterpart in Greek, we often see this, that in a relationship with the living God, there is usually, with this word, divine visitation or care, usually in context of blessing or salvation or cursing and judgment. God will visit blessing, in a sense, upon someone, or He will visit cursing or judgment, in a sense. It's a pretty serious term when it's used in these contexts. We see the wonderful statement in Luke chapter 1:68, this New Testament Greek term, which is translated the same in the Old Testament Greek translation of the Hebrew. Luke chapter 1:68, as Zacharias is prophesying concerning Jesus, the Savior. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people. Very serious when God visits, in a sense, His people in that context. We see when Jesus raised the widow's son from the dead in Luke 7, the people understood this concept. They said, God has visited the people. A mighty work has happened, in a sense. in 1 Peter 2:12 for us, it helps us understand really how this term is used when Peter speaks of our behavior in front of those who don't know Christ. 1 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among Gentiles. That's in the context of faith. So then the very thing they slander you as evildoers, they may account of your good deeds as they observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. So we kind of have a better idea. This is significant. It's not simply just taking note of Sarah. He is bringing forth his plan specifically in relationship to Sarah. He is visiting her in that sense. So it's very important. And notice this happened at a certain point in time. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. And what did he do? Verse 2, so Sarah conceived. She conceived, as we'll see, in her old age, and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. And God was faithful to his promise, as we'll see. He causing a barren woman and a man far beyond the time in which he could bring forth a son, to bring about conception and then for her to give birth. And as we'll see in a minute, this was miraculous. But I find it really interesting how this miraculous, amazing event is so simply declared here in this passage. There's no fanfare. There's no excitement in the way it's just simply declared. God did what he said, and he came upon her, and she brought forth, obviously, a son. And I think it's important that we need to see here the emphasis is not necessarily the birth itself, but the faithfulness of God to his promises. That's the emphasis that we need to see, although the birth is very crucial and important. Verse 1 again, then the Lord took note of Sarah. Notice this, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah, notice this, as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time, notice this, of which God had spoken to him. Three times we have the emphasis of God fulfilling his word, fulfilling his promise. Here we see the faithfulness of the living God to his word. And it's been 25 years since Abraham understood the beginning of these promises coming forth. The Lord had promised back 25 years earlier that he would be made a great nation, chapter 12. And in his seed all the nations would be blessed, again chapter 12, ultimately pointing to Christ. Then in chapter 15, he made it clear to Abraham that his heir would not be his servant Eliezer, but that from his own flesh, God shares with Abraham, his descendants would be numerous as the stars. And as the Lord affirms, he would establish that covenant in chapter 17. He made it clear that Abraham would be a father of a multitude of nations. And he also made it clear that that would be through Sarah. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Go back a little bit. Genesis 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. God is promising to give Abraham a son, now more specifically by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be the mother of nations, and kings of peoples shall come from her. And then in chapter 18, the Lord makes it clear of the timing in which it would come forth. Look at chapter 18, verse 9. This is where the Lord and those two angels had visited Abraham and they dined together. Abraham was hospitable.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. And this is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, I'm humbled by the faithfulness of God to fulfill all that he has declared and ashamed when doubts creep in because I think he may be taking too long. And that's when I'm tempted to take matters into my own hands.
Not only is he faithful, Dave, but he has demonstrated throughout his word that he has the power to fulfill every promise he makes, even miraculously. So then we can be assured that everything God has promised, he will do. Brother and sister, trust in a faithful God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.